from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Patrick Fabian, best known for his roles on Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, Big Love, Veronica Mars, Joan of Arcadia, and Saved by the Bell, The College Years. Yes, that was a thing.
Uh-huh, I loved it.
But he's also Howard Hamlin on Better Call Saul, Hotshot Lawyer, and now he's in a new movie coming out called Driver X, which premieres in theaters tomorrow. Long time friend of the show, Patrick Fabian. Let's get him in here.
See if he is as handsome as ever.
Handsome as ever.
He's as handsome as ever. Hi, Patrick.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
First of all, can we talk? I was listening to you guys on the way in. Who thinks there's dragons in Moana? Raise your hands.
Is there? What?
No. There is no dragon in Moana.
It was a volcano.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, last time you were on the show, I think we were talking about Better Call Saul, but now, and you mentioned that you were working on this movie, Driver X.
Right, right.
And now it's done, and it's in theaters tomorrow.
We have our Los Angeles premiere and our New York premiere tomorrow. We're in New York at the IFC
Center. What are you wearing?
What am I wearing?
I think guys don't ever think about that, do they?
Well, I kind of do, actually.
Oh, you do?
I'm a little vain, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to wear something cool and casual. So, you know, it's an indie film, so I want to look like I kind of care, but I don't care that much.
Right, you got to right? Yeah, you look a little messy, not perfectly put together, but yet...
Mostly it's about the hair and the eyes, right?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah,
in the
true.
End?
That's true.
Frank, you know, you do.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's the same thing. In this movie, you play, what, an Uber driver in the movie?
In the movie, I play a guy who has a record store at exactly the wrong time in history. And, of course, it goes belly up. And he finds himself in middle age having to reinvent himself, pay his mortgage. And he ends up driving Uber in Los Angeles at night. And, of course, he's on the wrong side of 50, as they say. And so he discovers that the music, the sexual mores, and everything else has really changed in the backseat since he was a young man. And trying to find your way in the world. It's like the promise of the gig economy of work for yourself and you're free and everything's
right.
Great. And how it maybe doesn't live up to exactly as it's advertised.
Did you take a lot of Uber rides to prepare just to be like, let's meet a bunch of different drivers and see what's going on?
I did not, and this is the reason why, because Henry Burial, who's the writer-director of it, it's basically his story. He actually had to do this. And so...
Oh.
We have to show the progression of like the guy who doesn't know how to drive Uber till he becomes a good Uber driver and how he experiences. So I decided to not do it at all until I started doing it, which was really fun because we'd have like 4 or 5 rides a night, and I would be in the front seat. And it's so funny because people are getting in the back seat, and we're talking. And I'm thinking, hey, we're all actors together. It's really fun. We're all part of the same troupe. And I'd start throwing some jokes or some musical references out. And I'd look in the back seat, and I'd realize it was flying over their heads because, of course, they were in their 20s. And I really felt like the old man driving the car.
So in the film, is there sympathy for you because you're an older guy over 50 and then out of touch with where society is? Or does it make you like an old fud? Like, do we like the fact that you're out of touch? Or is it charming and endearing? Or does it make you look kind of silly?
Well, Frosty, I would say it's definitely charming and endearing, without a doubt. The old fuddiness, there's no such an old fuddy. I think it's more of a realization. I think anybody can sort of appreciate the idea of running up against change. And how you deal with it. You know, I always say, like, when I'm in the grocery store, I got 2 young girls. I live in the Valley. I'm married now. And so I'm in the grocery store at 5 o'clock getting milk or dinner. And they're playing, like, Bon Jovi or Def Leppard. And I'm like, yeah. And I look to my right and my left. I'm like, what are all these old guys doing here, too? Right? And you realize, oh, it's that shift. All of a sudden, your music becomes classic rock. And you're like, wait a second. And you want to hold on to something. And then also, what are you going to do in the second act of your life if things change? Like, if you did own a record store and that was your dream and you finally were a small business owner and you loved music and you got to do that, I mean, we see those go belly up all over the place. What do those people do? And there's a couple of scenes in the movie that I think anybody who has a record collection who may have transformed it at Amoeba or some record store will appreciate. So, So I think there's definitely sympathy for Leonard, the driver in Driver X. Opening Friday in New York and Los Angeles. Also, you can get on iTunes and Amazon, so you can just get in your jammies and watch it as well.
The genre that it's in, I mean, is it a drama? Is it a psychotic thriller?
It's not a psychotic thriller. It's not a serial killer. There's no killing in it. spoiler alert, I do not wield a knife or an axe.
Who is Driver X?
Because you're a family man in the movie, and the wife works and's holding down the fort, and you're just doing this driving at night to help out with the family, right? And you got a couple kids at home, but do you get addicted to the to the driving where it's like, I got to go out and you're never really home? And what is it? I
mean, well, you know, it's that whole idea of like when roles get reversed, you know, she had signed on for one thing in the marriage and all of a sudden she has to go to work now. And then she wants me to get a job. And so this is the job I get.
Yeah, ladies. That's what we want. Dang it.
You know, at one point in the movie, my character says, driving's my dirty secret. And I think that sort of is sort of the deal. It's like when you're out there, there's a whole different world that you are living that you're not necessarily reporting to when you come back, you know? Hmm.
That's interesting. The dirty secret, meaning you don't want anyone to know that you do that because it's embarrassing?
It's double, yeah. You don't want anybody to know. Like, Uber is something, when people drive Uber, there's still sort of a thing of like, you don't let them know until you have to that you're doing that because there's a weird sort of like.
So what do you do?
Yeah. And instead, I mean, there's loads of people who are doing it. I've got plenty of friends who do it all the time. But I think there's a sense of like, you know, in this case, Leonard's record store has failed. So he feels like a failure. And so Uber isn't a way out. But in the movie, it sort of explores about it, but it may be a way back.
Is there the scene in the movie, and won't ruin anything, but as you're driving to pick somebody up, you realize it is your next door neighbor, and you don't want your neighbor to know that you're driving for Uber?
Well, I will say that there are some interesting rides in the film, Frank. Oh. Absolutely. I think Frank's going to be in his jammies watching it.
What kind of car do you drive in the movie?
Oh, it's a rockin' Prius, baby. Absolutely.
Oh, the rockin' Prius.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate to knock down the fourth wall, but I'm always fascinated by movies the way they're made. When we watch the film Driver X, and you're sitting in the car, everyone's in the car, your hands on the wheel, you're really not driving, right? You're riding around on a flatbed or a trailer, or you're actually driving through
the
city.
Are you ruining the magic?
How nice. Frosty's confusing us with a big-budgeted film. No. I drive everything. As a matter of fact, when you see the movie, remind yourself, if my eyes are off the steering wheel, that's in real time, and I may be endangering some actors' lives. Okay. No, we're a super low-budget film. We did a Kickstarter to get it going, and so all the driving is all me. Huh. And the camera, we have the cameraman in the passenger seat. We had cameras mounted on the hood and stuff like that.
Are some of the cameras, like the security cameras, sometimes you see inside of an Uber where it's on the dash?
We did
like
not
a GoPro
do that.
Or
we
whatever?
Did not do, remember Taxi Cab Confessions?
Right.
Yes.
Right. Well, Heidi got very excited about that.
I
yes,
love that.
I do. It was a great show.
Yeah.
But the director did not want to have that feeling, that sensation,
because
we've
that
all
comparison.
Seen that show.
Yeah.
Well, it's a much more reality based, and he wanted to make sure it was very cinematic. Our DP, Daniel Lyons, shot Los Angeles at night beautifully, and for as little money as we spent on this film, it looks gorgeous.
Were you driving without a windshield in the car sometimes?
We did not do that, but it's funny. You know, we're shooting in Los Angeles at night, and we've got a rig on the car. We've got lights hanging off the car. We've got sound men crammed in the back. And you would think a cop would stop
really
us just
rude.
Once, right? No one stopped us the entire time.
They thought you were just Google Maps. They were taking pictures of neighborhoods. Oh, there goes one of those cars.
Night. That's weird, no. But whatever.
But we got great cameos in it. We have Melissa Fumero from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Oscar Nunez from The Office, Iqbal Thiba from Glee. So there's lots of fun people who
was
get in the cars.
Was this schedule, because I'm like a morning person. Well, thank God we're here, but like I'm a morning person. I go to bed early.
Right.
A night shoot like that would be really hard for
me. Well, and we had to feather it in, you know, like I said, I've got two kids. I would come home, they would get out of their bunk beds, and I'd get in their bed to go sleep because we would shoot from sundown to sunup, and as soon as the sun came up, we'd pull the plug and we'd go. So we did that. The whole shoot was about 21, 22 days, all told.
Okay, but was that schedule tough for you, or were you like, no?
Yes, it was more tough for my wife, I think, than anything else, because
I was
unavailable. Yeah, and then I would go back to, we were shooting.
It's the happiest she's ever been.
We were still shooting Better Call Saul at the same time.
Oh, God.
So I would shoot this, and then I'd fly back to Albuquerque and do that. You know what? Luxury problems.
That's true, yeah, that's
absolutely.
And just completed the fourth season on Better Call Saul, right?
Did you finish up? Did you watch it all?
I'm still catching up.
I'm the Brad Pitt character in Better Call Saul.
Oh, nice. Now, you did some Christmas movies. Snow and Snow 2, where you played a guy. Were you the villain?
I was the only person in the Christmas movie who was walking around with a high-powered rifle.
Right. And you were a reindeer hunter?
I believe my name literally was Buck.
Buck the reindeer hunter?
Yeah, and I was walking around. My kids haven't seen that one yet.
I was going to ask you
about that. How old are the kids?
6 and 8.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Because you do play a great villain, but you also, I mean, in this particular movie, Driver X, you're not a villain. You're a everyman.
Very much an everyman in this one, representative of a lot of things. You know, the world has changed, right? The economy is flattened, the world's gotten flattened, all that sort of thing. And so what are people doing now? You know, there's this whole illusion of freedom. Do what you want. There's no bosses. There's also no safety net and health insurance that comes along with that, right?
And
I think people are struggling to figure out exactly what that is. And I think Driver X at least addresses those problems. Plus, you get to see my head like 30 feet high in the big screen. Oh, yeah, by the way, here's a warning. But if a little of me is too much of me, this is a very long movie for you. I'll give you a heads up.
Yeah. I like Patrick Fabian, but like in just doses.
In small doses.
Small spurts. Yeah.
Yeah,
supported.
Did Uber ever have you sent them the link on iTunes so they could watch it? Did they comment about the idea?
You know what? They and Lyft have not commented.
What about Mustache Rind?
Oh, nice. Maybe.
You used to see those everywhere. Now you don't see them anymore.
They're gone. They're gone. Yeah. No. You know what? Because we are Driver X. We are not actually Uber. We are not actually Lyft by any. We don't.
Oh, Driver X is the name of the imaginary company.
Yeah, it is the company, as a matter of fact. It's our logo. Although I will say, in the movie, we have the glowing logos that change color, which Uber and Lyft did not have before we made this. So I don't know. Maybe we should sue them.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. Huh.
Patrick Fabian with us. You know him from Better Call Saul. He plays Howard Hamlin, and his movie Driver X comes out. Skidding into middle age, they call it.
Yeah, I call it a coming of middle age story. speaking of Better Call Saul, though, I say this weekend at the Monica Film Center in Santa Monica on 2nd Street, where the film is playing, Saturday night, Michael Mando, who plays Nacho Varga on Better Call Saul, and Ray Seahorn, who plays Kim Wexler, will be there to help me. They're going to do a Q&A afterwards and then host a BCS trivia afterwards with some prizes. So that's the 7:10 showing Saturday night, Monica Film Center on 2nd Street. Buy your tickets now.
What do you get asked the most? Like, what's the question that gets repeated the most to you at things like this? Is there one question that people want to know?
Oh, in the Q&As?
Yeah.
They want to know if I actually drove the car.
See?
Yeah.
Oh, and I thought it was my...
Absolutely.
You never asked it before.
Thing.
I thought
how
that was
original.
The original. Well,
yeah.
I thought it was.
Which just shows you're an everyman, Frosty. People want to know.
I could ask if he studied evangelism before he was an evangelist in the last exorcism.
Oh, yeah. I heard you talking horror movies.
That was a scary movie,
that
by
was
the
a
way.
Good movie. Yeah, I was psyched to be in that. Absolutely. And did I mention Emily Blunt is in this film?
Yeah.
Great.
Really?
Great.
Oh my gosh,
as Mary Poppins. He picks Mary Poppins out. Only way I'd do that.
What were you in Joan of Arcadia? I know you were in it, but what were you?
I played the devil. I played Principal Price.
You were the... okay. Yeah. I used to love that show. It only ran 2-3 seasons.
Yeah, yeah. And you'd see me about for a minute every episode. I'd walk out of the hallway and go, Joan? Joan? In my office, or something like that. Yeah,
I think you got an Emmy for that, as I recall. You did very, very well.
You know,
sold it.
So, do you have your holiday decorations up at your house already?
We put the tree up the day after Thanksgiving. It's become a tradition. And
wait, a living tree? You not?
Oh, that sounds a little judgy. Yes.
Well, no, I'm just wondering, how do you keep it alive until Christmas?
It seems like it dies. We play the water game, and then 2 weeks later, somebody forgets, and then all of a sudden, pine needles are a fire hazard, and the kids breaking the needles.
Do you have any
off.
Animals that affect the tree?
Not anymore, although the kids want a puppy for Christmas.
Not anymore. What happened to the animals?
It sounds like we got rid of them. Sorry.
Not anymore.
Well, after what they did.
Yeah.
No.
That's the last time you'll poop on daddy's carpet.
Did you run over
No, we have two great dogs. One went to doggy heaven upstairs, and the other one went to doggy heaven in Missouri and found a backyard with a lot of squirrels. So, yeah, so it's all good. So the kids are clamoring for a puppy fever right now. They're looking for a puppy under the tree this year.
If you do get a puppy, they've come out with the half Christmas tree. So it's just the top half, like the small part. You decorate that so it's on a long stick, and then you just pile the presents up. So the dogs and...
Cats, mostly.
Can't actually get to the ornaments.
First
half
dog
tree.
We ever had, Susie, the rescue from SPCA. Great idea.
The half tree.
We went to Christmas Eve Mass, and we came back, and all of the tinsel from 3 feet down was gone. And then there was these piles of cute little puppy poop with sparkles in it all over our house.
Yes. Yeah.
Festive little brown trees. Oh, wow.
Little Yule logs, if you will.
Patrick Fabian, thank you so much for stopping by. You know, anytime you have something coming out, you're always welcome to come on the show.
Thank you very much.
And what's coming out tomorrow? It's Driver X. So be sure, the premiere is tomorrow in New York and Los Angeles. So find it. And it's also on iTunes
and Amazon as well. And follow us at Driver X Movie on all platforms.
It's refreshing to see an actor actually doing actual driving in a film about driving.
Exactly.
No one does it anymore. It's refreshing.
All right. We do have to apologize to those of you that we have offended today and get the hell out of here.
Sorry to girls in gowns hanging around, experimental study patients, lamp lickers, and yoo-hoo.
Lara Croft, freaky dentists, beekeepers, and people with bare hands.
Yoga instructors, kids with peanut allergies, murderous fathers, and my sister Dina.
Armenians, the DMV, Nicolas Cage, and Macaulay Culkin.
drunk and forgetful men, LeBron James, Mary Poppins, and dogs with bitter beer face.
My friend with a swollen colon, Spam, Spider-Man, Gilbert Gottfried.
Diabetics, mini porn watchers, people driving in the slow lane in the rain, and actors faking driving on trailers.
Sidewalk vendors, the love boat, bus people, and wet water. It's a long story.
Patrick Fabian, Uber drivers, Buck the Reindeer Hunter, and Chuck Mangione. You really have to listen to the whole show. We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.